Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
Now, as we mentioned earlier in the week, the UN convened its 75th General Assembly this week, but at a time when the organisation is fighting for relevance and support from many of its member nations. So are there reforms that might rescue the UN? Hannah Ryder is CEO of the consultancy firm Development Reimagined, and she joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Hannah.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thank you very much for having me on.
Is the source of the problems with the UN the Security Council, or are they more profound than that?
Well, there are a number of different problems with the UN, but the Security Council is a very, very important part of the UN. As you know, it has five permanent members in the Security Council, and on top of that, there are 10 non-permanent members who five are elected every year. And of course, Ireland was one of the most recent five who will be serving for 2 years from 2021 to 2022. But there have been so many different. One of the key challenges with the UN is the Security Council is the key venue where decisions are really made, really binding decisions from the UN, as binding as you can get. But it is also the source of a lot of problems, the key parts of maintaining peace and security effectively from the UN come from the Security Council. But as we know, those decisions are the hardest and often the ones in which the UN has had the most dismal records, whether it's apartheid back in South Africa, Rwanda, Yemen, the financial crisis, and now COVID-19, of course. The UN only just made a Security Council just came together to have to make a decision on COVID-19, but it was very much kind of 3 months late and not necessarily referring to the sorts of behaviours that we need to avoid COVID-19, but more about ceasefires and that sort of thing. So it was very limited. And of course, we also know the US, who is one of the Security Council members, has just pulled out funding from the World Health Organization, who have been trying to lead the world through this COVID-19 crisis. So yes, the Security Council is very much a challenge, although it is the one of the few bodies which has been around in the UN since it was created back in 75 years ago.
But the structure of the UN, the five permanent members, does that really reflect a world from 70 years ago than the world now?
So that's part of the challenge. What has these five members back in 1945 were obviously very, very important. They were agreed as the most responsible, capable countries to try to bring together world peace coming out of World War II. But since 1945, over the 75-year history of the UN, what we've had is a shift in the numbers of countries. Many of the four of the five Security Council members were actually colonial powers at the time. And as a result, we've seen at least 80 former colonies gaining independence, countries like Kenya, India, Nigeria, Kazakhstan. And on top of that, we've also seen that then means that we've seen a massive increase in the number of member states in the UN. So when the P5 began in 1945, there were 10% of the member states. And they also, through their colonies in particular, accounted for over 50% of the world's population. Now, we've also seen huge demographic shifts. Of course, the P5 together account for 26% of the world's population, but 3% of the UN member states. So it is it's a real shift. The key shift that has really happened is this increase in the numbers of member states, and in particular, decolonized member states, but this hasn't been reflected in the Security Council itself.
Well, is there an argument for not having permanent members at all?
Well, so what most people so far, the UN reform debate has been going on since the early 90s. You know, how do we change the UN to better reflect these types of realities? And the typical response that people come up with is, okay, why don't we just have more permanent members? And for example, you know, let's have India, let's have Turkey, or you know, these are the big countries who are increasingly having an impact on the world. Also, African countries, of course. At the same time, what's not happening is this question: why do we have permanent members? What justifies a permanent state of thinking that only five countries effectively have this responsibility and capability? The world is changing, so why should we have permanence? My colleagues and I have actually put out a new proposal to get rid of the permanent members and have everybody doing what Ireland just did, which is make a case for why they should be on the Security Council. And instead of just being there on for 2 years, being there on for 5 years instead, and trying to really make a difference to the world through strong decision making, still having this kind of veto decision making means, which differentiates the Security Council from the General Assembly. General Assembly have to have a consensus, but the Security Council have this veto power. And so instead of having these five permanent members, make everybody non-permanent and have a real competition for who is responsible, who is capable in this world that we're in.
In this scenario, though, like, could any single country then just veto anything, a proposal in front of the Security Council?
Well, so that's what happens right now. The five permanent members, one of them can always veto a resolution, and that's part of the problem. A lot of the time that happens, and you also get countries that will maybe together work to get two of the five, for example, might work together. China and Russia often have the same view. US and UK often have the same view, etc. However, what we propose is, while keeping the veto, encouraging this idea. Also, when the UN was created, there was this idea of collaboration. So, keeping a veto, you'd still have 15 countries on the Security Council as there are right now. But you would, in order to say, as a country, as Ireland, for example, if you were on the Security Council, as you will be, if Ireland wanted to say, no, we don't agree with this decision, they would need to find somebody else on the Security Council that also wants to explicitly say no and also veto that same decision. So it would still maintain that real binding nature of the decisions, and, you know, how seriously these countries are taking it. But it would mean that they can actually make decisions, because trying to find somebody else who really does think exactly like you, another country that feels exactly the same, might actually be quite challenging.
Yeah. Now, I imagine probably most countries who are members of the UN would like to see the kinds of changes you describe, except, of course, for the five permanent members of the Security Council, who probably like things the way they are, and that they can bend the UN to their will if they need to, or they can just ignore the UN.
Well, and they do. That is actually what happens already. You know, of course, detractors would say, oh, well, you know, the P5 would never agree to this kind of arrangement. And at the same time, you know, some of the P5 have said, oh, yes, we will be open to enlarging the Security Council, et cetera, to accommodate India and so on. But to be honest, several of the P5 members have remained out of some of these UN-based mechanisms already, yet they are still important. Think about the International Criminal Court. The US has not recognized the UN to recognize the International Criminal Court. Three of these five permanent members don't recognize it. It's not just the US. At the same time, the International Criminal Court has made important contributions to justice. So, you know, we don't always have to have every single country in these mechanisms. What matters is that we have countries the countries that are coming together within the UN are trying to play a guardian role, and doing that in a consistent, responsible accountable, collaborative way, while still maintaining the decision-making power that they can. We really do feel that this is a process which is so important that we have to work really hard to try to make it work.
So are you hinting, Hannah, that in perhaps a reformed United Nations, it mightn't include everybody?
Well, so the UN General Assembly includes every single member state. There's no issue. You know, it's 193 member states of the UN. The question is, what would the Security Council look like? And what we're suggesting is have everyone compete to be on the Security Council. So there might be 5 years in which the US is not a member of that Security Council because the rest of the membership has said, we don't particularly want the US to be part of that because we don't deem the US to be responsible, capable and collaborative. You know, those are the criteria on which the membership of the Security Council should be based. But we would have a real genuine discussion about what does it mean to be on the Security Council? What does it mean to have that kind of responsibility? And then maybe the US will think, well, actually, we really do want this and we will work with other countries. We will build allies. You know, Ireland had to build allies in order to get its non-permanent seat. Mm. These things happen. These things are already done. It's just that the five permanent members, for some reason, don't have to go through the same process that everybody else does.
Hannah, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Hannah Ryder there, CEO of Development Reimagined. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on Newstalk. We're going to take a break. After that, why are people in the West different?
Moncrief on Newstalk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.